We're going to continue on with that. And Brother Keith has got the, he's put the sermon on the website. If you want to go back and listen to Wednesday night sermon, feel free to. And but I'm going to be back in the book of Judges, chapter number 6. I'm not going to read all the scriptures that I read Wednesday, but I'm going to read some here. Judges chapter 6 and verse 34, a familiar passage to Bible readers. He said, but the Spirit of the Lord, underlying the Spirit of the Lord, came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. Underlying the word, a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. In verse number 36, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece, underline the word a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Now, I know that we have the Holy Ghost that teaches us all things. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He gives us directions. He directs our footsteps. And I understand that. And some teach that it's wrong to ask for a fleece. We oftentimes we use the fleece and we use it as an example that I have put a fleece out before God. And really, sometimes we get in our lives where we have gray areas, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know what to do. There's not a scripture that teaches, that tells me what I need to do in this particular circumstance or situation I may be facing. And I'm sure that some of you have, if you're honest with me, you'll say there's times in my life that I've come to, I just don't know which way to turn. I've prayed and I've studied, I've read God's word, I've asked for guidance and direction, and I don't know which way to go. Maybe you've never felt that way, but I have. Some will teach that you're spiritually immature if you seek God for a sign. Some teach that signs and wonders are over. But that's not scriptural. He told us to watch for signs and wonders all the way to the second coming of Christ. There'll be signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. There's nothing wrong with being in a hard place and asking God and saying, God, I want to make sure. God will never get tired of you asking. When you're trying to seek God's will, don't get discouraged. Keep pressing on. I talked about the practical purpose of the fleece. We all know what a fleece is. And I'm not talking about the part about it that we're asking for. But what is a fleece? Well, a fleece was a garment. Not necessarily a garment, but the skin with the wool of a sheep on it. It was about the size, from all of my studies that I could find, it was about the size of a blanket or a small throw. And it had a practical purpose. It had a practical application. And, you know, they would take that wool that it had been cleaned from a fuller, and the fuller would clean. You've heard people talk about the fuller's soap, and they would clean the wool, and they would wash it, and it would be clean, and they would take and put the fleece out. And in the desert area where this was, they had times when it was dry seasons, and they had times when it was wet seasons. And thank goodness we're in a wet season in this church. It may be dry out there. We may be going through a drought, but we're in a wet season in this church. I hope you can understand what I'm talking about. God is moving in this place. The Spirit is here. But they would take that during the dry times in the desert, and they would lay that fleece out, and the dew from the night that would come about would saturate the fleece. And they would take that fleece and they would wring out water in the morning out of that fleece. And that was water that they could purify and use for drinking water in the middle of desert. They had a practical use for it. Also in the mariners, whenever they was in ships, you know, you can't drink salt water. They would lay the fleece over the railing of the ships. They would take and wring out the water, and they had fresh water to drink from heaven. We talked about the practical purpose of the fleece. He did not take something that was unusual and ask God to give him a sign. He took something that was practical. I made the illustration, gave the example about the person that put out a fleece, and where a lot of times we'll do this. He was on a diet, and he said, you know, Lord, I've been on this diet for 2 weeks, and if it be thy will, let there be a parking spot right in front of the donut shop. He said after the 13th trip around the block, there was a parking spot just right in front of the door. When we put out a fleece, we need to ask God to do something that is not natural, that only God can do. We want our will to be His will. But then I also see the prophetic side of this. Israel was God's chosen people. The first time he prayed, he said, God, let the fleece be wet, but all of the earth all around be dry. He got up on the morrow, and so it was so. He wrung out a bowl full of water out of that fleece. God's blessing was on Israel. Now, don't get me wrong, Israel is still God's chosen people. We get over to the New Testament, and the veil in the temple was rent from top to the bottom. It was opened up to the Gentiles. He prayed the second time, and he said, Lord, let the fleece be dry and the ground all around it be saturated. It's a picture of the Jews being blinded to the Messiah. The Gentiles, a revival breaking out among the Gentiles, the church world as we know it. The church world has been saturated by the love of God. Now, if you're here today and you're lost, and you say, well, I'm just going to wait until the tribulation period. I want you to think about this with me. If he dried up all the water all the way around, and the fleece was wet, think with me. I want you to show me one place in the Bible that you can tell me with absolute certainty that there is anyone except the Jews that are saved during the tribulation period. You can't find it. You tell me that you're going to wait and get saved during the tribulation period when you can't even make it to Sunday school? I highly doubt that you're going to be able to make it whenever the water is dried up. We see the prophetic side of it. But I want to look just a minute at the spiritual application of it. If you notice this, everything happened in an order. In verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And then he blew a trumpet. And then he put a fleece upon the floor. Things have to happen in order. You can do a lot of things when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. I can't do anything without Him. I got to looking at this and I got to... The more I looked at this, the more I realized that, and I'll tell you what, I've been, for about the past week, this has just been burning in my heart and in my soul. I told you what I said, I'm excited to go to church. I couldn't wait to get here to preach about this. This is not just about Gideon. This is not just about the water. You know, I got to studying on this, and I got to listen to the other sermons being preached, and you know, they preach about this, and they had the sermon entitled "The Fleece," and they would tell me that he put out a fleece and it got wet. I'd look at commentaries, and they'd say he put out a fleece and it got wet. And the next day, he put out a fleece, and the fleece was dry, and the ground was wet. Well, I already knew that. But Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to tell me? This is not about Gideon. It's about the fleece. What is a fleece? If you go back to the Old Testament, I know we're in the Old Testament now, but if you go back to the high priest, whenever the priest would have a sacrifice and they'd bring the lamb in, the sacrificial lamb. And a lamb, I know we use the words interchangeably, sheep and lamb. The lamb is just a sheep that is only about 12 months old. When it becomes a little bit older, they refer to it as a sheep. But a lamb is 12 months and younger. But they would bring the sacrificial lamb into the high priest, and the high priest would take it. He would skin that lamb. And the lamb skin with the wool on it, that part belonged to the priest. They would take that and they would inspect the inward part of that, the innards, and they would make sure that it was there was nothing wrong with the lamb. They would divide the lamb up. Divide the parts up. And you know that the skin was the priest. It belonged to him. And you know, Brother Isaac, I've only known you for maybe a couple years now. But in some of these I've known a lot longer in here, but I'm going to use you for an example. You're on the front, just a prime target. But you know, Brother Isaac, if you was telling me that you got saved and your life has changed and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, I'd say, well, wait a minute. I remember the time when we used to run around. Brother Isaac could say, but that's all in the past. Prove it. You know what Brother Isaac could do? he could go to the priest and he could say that, you remember when I brought that little lamb in? The priest say, oh yeah. You see, every lambskin was tagged. It was marked. He could go back through and thumb back through his lambskins, and he could say, right here is the lamb that Brother Isaac brought in. Those sins are forgiven. Covered by the blood. When he prayed for that lamb to be wet. Scripture says he poured out a bowl full of water when he wrung that lamb out. Water. It's interesting. All throughout the Bible, water. Because he was sacrificed. You know, if there was never a sheep, there never would have been a lamb of God. It had to be willing to give up its wool. Had to be willing to sacrifice something of itself in order for him to be able to come to God. That water. The water has a twofold purpose in Scripture. The first thing that you'll find out, water is symbolic of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. You know why the devil doesn't want you to read your Bible? Why you struggle every time you open up the book and somebody calls or something happens and you get distracted? Because the devil does not want you to read the Word of God, because the Word of God will give you the answers that you need. The Word of God will give you guidance and direction. The Word of God will correct you. The Word of God will help you. And if the enemy can keep you from reading, he'll keep you from reading. The Bible goes on to tell us in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, or with God, and the Word was God. He goes on to tell us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Did you know that the earliest transcripts of the Bible, the scrolls, was written on parchment or sheepskin? The Word was written on the Word. Well, they had papyrus, but that wasn't what they used to write. One of the scrolls, matter of fact, it's called the copper scrolls, was written on copper. But the majority of the scrolls was written on sheepskin. The second thing that water represents in the Bible, you'll read about it in John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, in that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But look at verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He told them, he says, I want you to tarry until you be endued with power from on high. There was 120 gathered in that upper room when the Spirit fell. That same word, endued, in the Greek, In the Old Testament, the book of Judges, where I just read to you, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That same word Greek there, that endued, is the same word that was used in the Hebrew in the New Testament whenever it fell in the upper room. Don't get too excited, preacher. You're going to run the crowd off. We need the power more than ever in the church today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, I am too close to the other side to worry about what you think about me. I want to feel the Holy Ghost. I want to feel the anointing in my life and in my soul. I want to feel the anointing when I'm preaching. When the Spirit moves upon you, you can do all things. There's nothing impossible. I preached Wednesday night about a man that took a gate of a city, carried it, took it off the hinges, and took it 40-some miles up into a mountain. A little shepherd boy that took a bear and killed him with his bare hands. I don't know if he choked him to death or he tore him apart. I know he tore a lion apart with his bare hands. He took a giant that a whole army of Israel was scared of. Took a sling and a stone. And told him that you're defiling my God. What can we do when the Spirit of God comes upon us? It comes at His will. At His will. And you can do things to hinder His will. And church, I don't want to do anything to discourage the Holy Spirit or offend the Holy Spirit from coming and being here. I look at some of the hindrances of the Holy Spirit. I've got just three right here I'm going to give you real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. Number one is ignorance. Well, I want a preacher that preaches that, you know, that's been educated, that's been to seminary. I'm sorry, that's not me. Now, I know what they'll teach, and I told you this just the other day. They'll teach you to stand behind the pulpit. They'll tell you put one foot slightly behind the other. If you feel real excited and emotional, you hold both edges of the pulpit and you sway to one side and then you come back to the middle and go to the other side and come back to the middle. But I'll tell you what, I can't stand there. There's something shut up in my bones. I want somebody that's more dignified. Well, you come to the wrong place. I'm just as country as they get. The Apostle Paul, he said, Paul preached under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. John wrote about the unction of the Holy Ghost. I don't think I'm too far out of line. Whenever we get the Holy Spirit, but that's when people will get saved. That's when people want to get baptized. That's when people want to get their life straightened up and start living right. We get the Holy Spirit moving. It's just out of ignorance. And I see the iniquity. You know, that's when people get mad. If you get mad, your heart's full of sin. You know, if you're living right, and you got a Holy Ghost service and the Spirit's moving 20 minutes, seems like it's just a few seconds. But if you're not living right, And you're getting mad. It seems like the service drags on and on and on, and the preacher never will shut up, and he's just making a fool out of himself, and he's acting plumb goofy, and everybody else is acting like they're enjoying it, and you're just sitting there just as mad and stewing and steaming as you can get. You've got iniquity. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, that's the reason why I think a lot of the churches today, the Spirit's not moving. They're satisfied with their 12 people that they got going, as long as they're in charge and they can do what they want to do when they want to do it. And if you want to sing, you got to get in the rotation. If you want to do anything in the church, you got to be scheduled. And then I see indifference. Well, I just don't care. Unless it's one of mine. Let that be your son or your daughter. And then it makes a difference. That young man that was here the other night sat out here on the side of the road, Brother Virgil, and seen that sign on the building that Jesus is the answer. Come in. I did not know that man. But listen to me, that's somebody's father. That's somebody's dad. That's some mother's son. When we get to the point that we don't care when there's somebody at the altar that's needing salvation and needing an answer, and we don't care because it's not ours. We better be careful. The Holy Spirit will leave. He said he poured out a bowlful. That tells me that there was not room for another drop. I want that poured out in the house of prayer so full that, like the room, when they was in the upper room, the 120 was gathered there. There was not a one there that was not touched by the Holy Spirit. There's enough for everybody. There's enough to go around for everybody. There should not be one person at the house of prayer church that leaves here today lost. Why? Because we care. You want to see this be a soul-winning station? Church, we got to care. It doesn't matter who it is, what they've been through. I want the world to know that the House of Prayer Church, Claremore, Oklahoma, cares for the lost. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. But you mean that you don't even know them? No, I don't need to know them. They're God's creation. He died on the cross for whosoever will. We want to limit who gets wed and who don't. That's not up to us. That's up to Him. The Spirit will draw. But I've seen so many times before that they can get to the altar, they've been an old bunch of dry sponges gathered around. Amen. Well, you know who that person is? Can you smell them? Look how they're dressed. Come back to the music. I've preached long enough. I've got myself into deep trouble this morning. I already know. If you're here today and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, I'm here to tell you that we care. I don't want to see you go to the devil's hell. I don't want to see you die lost. He said that his spirit would not always strive with man. If the Lord is dealing with you this morning, don't turn him away. There'll come a time if you turn him away and reject him and reject him and turn him away and reject him that you'll long for the Spirit to deal with you just one more time. I've told this story often, but it hits close to home. My grandfather, Edgar Hubbard, he went by Ed. Dad would say that he would see him at the end of the row. He was a sharecropper. They planted cotton and milo, corn, but mostly cotton and milo. He'd see him at the end of a row with the mules tied up, team of mules that he plowed with, out there praying, asking God to deal with him just one more time. Grandpa made the statement. He said, if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell praying. See, God's Spirit does not always strive with man. You can get to the point where you turn him away and reject him. It can be wet all around you and dry where you're at. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll not stay where he's not wanted. He'll not go where he's not appreciated. Is that scripture? The Bible says that no man cometh to the Father except the Spirit draw him. If the Spirit is dealing with your soul this morning, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. You say, what I do? Just ask the Lord to forgive you. You're not alone. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory. You mean even you? Yes, I had to ask for forgiveness myself. I was just a sinner, lost without Jesus. The Lord dealt with my heart. I went to an old-fashioned altar to Brush Arbor meeting. I knelt over on this side. I remember it vividly. Just a young boy. I hadn't done a lot in my time. But I still needed a Savior. Ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart, in my life, the best thing that I've ever done. But Isaac, I couldn't imagine living without Jesus. You got questions? He's got answers. He's the fleece. Stand with me, if you will. The altar is open this morning.